Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Second down, goal to go for the Chiefs at the 4. 7-6 Ravens. 4:09 to go in the second quarter. Hollywood Brown trots in motion. Now he peels back left of Mahomes. They load the left side. Mahomes goes left. Fronts the middle. Touchdown, Kansas City. The pass caught by Juju Smith-Schuster. The door hinge. He gets to open the door in a 4-yard thread-the-needle throw by Mahomes. The Chiefs have their first touchdown of the game.
The door hinge. Huh? I
there
love
it
that.
Love it. He told us that story a couple weeks ago.
Heck,
you were
yeah.
listening. We have Mitch on every Friday. He brought up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That why he calls him the door hinge. Juju Smith-Schuster, great game yesterday.
Yeah.
That's what you want? You want him to have his 40 yards, Tyquan Thornton to have his 50 yards, Xavier Worthy to have his 120 all-purpose
right.
yards.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, and in 2 weeks you get Rashee Rice back. I'll continue to sip my coffee this morning.
You know, and then Travis Kelce, 5 catches, 48 yards. Perfect role for him yesterday as the aging tight end, man.
Yep.
Big play when you need it. Get you a couple of first downs. Be there when Patrick needs him the most. Targeted 5 times, 5 receptions, roughly 50 yards. Love to get into the end zone
awesome
a little bit more.
Loft pass
yeah,
over the shoulder.
That
felt
looked,
that connection
yeah,
was
it,
back.
It did, yeah.
That
it felt,
was like,
it, but that's what happens when you have Xavier Worthy. It opens it all up.
Yep.
I mean, it changes the entire dynamic of this team. And that's something that, you know, the Nationals didn't want to understand. Oh, it's injuries. They're still supposed to go. No, when you have a speed demon like Xavier Worthy on the field, it changes everything because now all of a sudden you're creeping up to the line of scrimmage. You're worried about the run. Oh, now you can go up over the top. Now you can go across the middle. Like just having Xavier Worthy on this team and on the field yesterday was so, so big for this organization because you don't even know if they're going to run or they're going to pass. He provides a lift for you that really is kind of second to none. And he's a difference maker, you know, for this team. And he's the biggest game changer we've seen since Tyreek Hill. I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying that. And Tyreek Hill was the biggest game changer we've ever seen in this organization. If Xavier Worthy continues on this trend and stays here and becomes a lifer in Kansas City and becomes an 8, 9, 10 year guy in Kansas City, he may be looked at as the biggest playmaker that we've ever seen this side of Patrick Mahomes from that wide receiver position. I mean, he's just such a dynamic factor on this team, guys. I can't even put it into words how awesome he is right now.
So let me ask you guys this question. You can debate between yourselves. Were you more comfortable with this team yesterday on defense or offense?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I'm going to say offense yesterday.
Yeah.
Because even when Lamar fumbled and you said, where is the get out of jail text, you know, how come we haven't gotten the game over text yet? Again, I'm 2 minutes behind with the box and everything. It's actually 90 seconds. I was timing it yesterday. Because I was like, it's still Lamar. Like, right? I wasn't, like, ready to close the door because I thought, man, we've seen Lamar do stuff, right? He fumbled, so they got the ball. They put some more points on the board. You're starting to feel pretty good about yourself at that point in time. But when that fumble happened, I was like, all right, yeah, it's over at this point, right? You kind of felt it. But even still, I was a little hesitant because of Lamar. But I thought offensively yesterday, they were flawless. I really did think
things
that.
Felt easy.
Yeah, it did.
For the first time all season, it felt like, hey, we're going to throw to an open wide receiver for 2 yards, and he's going to go gain another eight. It's going to be a first down. You know, Mahomes isn't going to have to throw to where the yards are. It doesn't have to be 40-yard pass for 40 yards. It can be a 10-yard pass and it'd go for 25. And it was, I think guys were open. People were in the roles. You mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster. It was like finally he was the Rashee Rice role, right? Little underneath short passes, get some yards after the catch. Mm-hmm. Kelce there when you need it. It was just like, and we mentioned it too. What did you say? 9 different guys caught a pass yesterday?
That's right.
I mean, that's the Chiefs at their best. Yeah. When you don't know who's getting the football.
Yeah, I mean, they spread it around yesterday. Worthy, Kelce, Juju, Hollywood, Rashard Smith. I mean, talk about a nice change of pace. Pacheco had a couple of catches. Hunt had a catch out of the backfield. Thornton, Gray. I mean, like, all those dudes caught a ball yesterday for this team because they were able to stay balanced. It's amazing. I was watching, I think I was watching the Giant game yesterday, and the announcers, it was Trent Green. Let me see who it was. It was Trent Green and Kevin Harlan were doing the Giant game, and I want to make sure I give them the right credit. But it was somebody yesterday that said, the running game is the best friend of a quarterback. You know, and I'm like, yes, exactly. This was before that the Chiefs were playing yesterday, and they were talking about the running game being the best friend of the quarterback. Look at what happened yesterday, how great that running game was for Patrick Mahomes. Takes the pressure off him, keeps the defense guessing and off balance, gives your offensive line an opportunity to work and do their thing yesterday. The running game is so important in this league right now.
I just thought watching that game was like watching the Chiefs of old. And I say the Chiefs of old, but the Chiefs that always were in those games where you're like, yeah, this is the Ravens, but this team looks absolutely comfortable. They looked like everybody was having fun. The game plan worked. Everything was in the right place at the right time that you needed them. I know that Rashard Smith dropped that pass earlier on. There's a couple of runs where Pacheco kind of ran into his tackles, and that's why we saw more Rashard Smith and Kareem Hunt throughout the game. But that was a game in which the first drive, I'm listening to it on the radio as I'm driving over to my family's house to watch the game with them, and you know, I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, 4 first downs on the opening drive. Like, they're just running down the field. Derrick Henry, 14-yard gain. Rashad Bateman, 17-yard gain. Mark Andrews. And then we never really heard Mark Andrews' name again.
Literally.
And
that was it.
That was the first drive.
And then targets done.
We saw that Nick Bolton did very well on the spy. We'll talk to Derek Johnson about that coming up in about 5 minutes. And then I thought that the Leo Chenault pick was huge. I mean, him picking that ball on the sidelines, getting the ball right back when Baltimore could have gone down and made it 14 and just nipped that in the bud. Nipped what in the bud? He nipped that drive in the bud. Leo Chenault really turned the game around.
When was
around
the last time you saw a linebacker in coverage like that make that kind of play, too?
To your ass.
Buffalo did it yesterday, but that's because they had Chris Olave try to throw a touchdown pass. Can't do that.
So
and that guy went up there one-handed that line and brought it down. I'm like, but no, I thought that play by Leo Chenault really kind of got the team like, oh, crap, here we go, man. They're back. But I felt really comfortable. And I asked myself that question going home last night, man. Do I feel more comfortable watching that offense today? Or do I feel more comfortable watching that defense play? That was a win on all three sides of the field, from defense to special teams to offense.
Yep.
That's that team. 37-20, 17-point victory. Offense looked great. Defense looked great. Spags, Andy, Nagy, everybody was on their game plan. And by the way, I'm going to give him credit because I crushed him all week. Juwan Taylor, every day, every play, I'm going, is this going to be it? Is this my sister, who loves sports, doesn't know names a lot. And she goes, is Juwan Taylor going to F this up on this drive? I'm like, summer.
It's everybody, though. They all say it. My mother talks about it. My wife talks about it. The kids talk about Juwan Taylor. And I want to say, Mac, I think you and I are a little vindicated yesterday, right?
Like, finally.
We've been supporting this guy up until last week. And then, you know what? It was tough love by you and I. That's why he didn't commit. It wasn't Andy Reid. It wasn't Nagy. No. It wasn't Mahomes. It was nothing that took place over there. It was you and I finally say, man, we love you. We've given you everything. Yep. You got to give us a little something. He goes, man, I let Bob and Mac down. My only two fans in this town.
He's like, damn,
I better go play. And he was brilliant yesterday.
He was amazing.
And it was par for the course of the Ravens. They started off running the ball very well.
Classic,
and then the Chiefs went
dude.
Down, and then the Chiefs went down, scored, got the ball back, scored again, and then all of a sudden we didn't see Derrick Henry. He ran the ball 8 times yesterday.
Yep,
His kryptonite is Steve Spagnuolo. It's just you cannot run against Spags when you're Derrick Henry.
They don't even try. I mean, they
run away from it.
I mean, they just,
which is the irony of the whole thing.
It's so crazy. They don't even try to do it. You mentioned the special teams too. That really nice job yesterday. The Romeo return that kind of set him up right.
Awesome.
And they were talking about Dave Tobe and before the game, Josh texted me. He goes, I don't know if you heard the Dave Tobe pregame interview. I go, no. He says at the end of the interview, I don't know if we can find this anywhere.
Okay.
He says at the end of the interview, one of these teams is going to be 1-3. It sure as hell ain't going to be us.
Let's go.
Hey, we got Oktoberfest coming up, man. We better start celebrating Dave Tobe again with Oktoberfest coming up here in 2 days. But how about that comment from the special teams coach? Damn. One of these teams falling 1-3 ain't going to be us.
Well, call your shot and land it. That's what Dave Tobe did yesterday. Coming up on the other side, the Chiefs' former middle linebacker, Derek Johnson, joins us to talk all things happiness on the defensive side of the rock. We'll talk to Derek Johnson next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan. He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Derrick Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derrick Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, "Oh man, we gotta figure this out."
Here's number 56, Derrick Johnson, with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It's DJ time here on 96.5 The Fan with Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, and Dusty Likens. It is brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member owned, open to all. Community America Credit Union, invested in you. DJ, I got to ask you rather than shoot, man. How bad do you want to put them pads on and join that fun yesterday on the defensive side of the unit there yesterday, my man?
Oh, man. so bad. It was kind of a, I don't know, it's a full circle moment, but I remember really, really fast during the second quarter where I think we got a couple turnovers and the crowd was going crazy. And I'm like, oh man, we're about to roll. I was just thinking, I know that sound. I know how that 12th man there is in Kansas City.
Yeah, it was loud. My wife was at the game yesterday. She came home. She goes, that was as loud as I've heard it in a while, man. Like people were fired up for that game. And you walk out of that stadium yesterday with a big-time win over a brand-name opponent, whether they were injured or not. You had to play them, and you beat them, and you took care of business. It wasn't that you just won. It's how they won. That was, I thought, their most complete game since the first Taylor Swift game against the Bears a couple of years ago. Dusty said since the Christmas Day game against the Steelers. I just thought either way you look at it, it's their most complete game we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yesterday was I guess a moment where you say, all right, let's not overreact. Like we're still in control. And honestly, starting out 0-2, that's a panic moment, but these guys do not panic. They got high character. Andy knows what he's doing. Pat was unbelievable. Man, our defense, I mean, it's so many areas. Honestly, it was a pretty complete game, but, I don't think we ran the ball as well. I don't think, third down could get better. Like, certain stuff, like, we're still on the rise and climax, and I'm just proud of the guys for getting 2-2 in the, and getting back to even in the first quarter.
Yeah, speaking of climax, I think I did, whenever I saw the stat line of Derrick Henry, 8 rushes, 46 yards. When you're on the defensive side of the unit and you start to, like, go through the game, when you get off the field and your coaches and players are all talking, do you bring that up? Like, hey, they're not running the ball anymore. Let's go to the different phase. Or do you still stick to what you know that you're supposed to do? Because they do this every year, DJ. When the Ravens play the Chiefs, it seems like Derrick Henry gets off to a good start, and then they just abandon the run. What does that mean to a defensive unit when you see that?
Well, I mean, you never know what's the game plan that they're wanting to do, but that's what I would hang my head on Derrick Henry. That's just you know, he's a big horse back there. But being able to affect Lamar was huge. I mean, before he, went down with injury, they have a lot of injuries, but at the same time, I think we did a
fantastic job on mixing up, affecting the quarterback, getting them in third and long, getting, making some negative plays for them. But I thought they would stay with the run a little bit, the Ravens, because of what's all going on. Maybe keep the ball out of Pat's hand at times. But, man, they did us a favor when they started dropping back and when we started humming and bringing people and blitz them and started getting some turnovers.
You know, you mentioned the mindset of Mahomes and that winning mindset or however you phrase it that they have, right? And then you look across the sidelines and people are talking about maybe Lamar quit on his team yesterday and how bad really was the hamstring. They said, you know, if he was – if the game was closer, he probably would have stayed in. There were some of those rumors going around out there. As a guy who's on the team as a 53-man roster, you see what Patrick Mahomes does versus how Lamar does. How does that have an impact on the overall team?
Oh, my goodness. It's much different. Pat's energy and his there's moments in there that create momentum for the whole team, and it just permeates and bleeds throughout the whole team. Pat's the best player in the NFL. That's just what it is. So, I mean, he checks a lot of boxes. And don't get me wrong, Lamar's great, but they got some issues over there. And I don't know, if somebody was, giving up or not. I won't go that far. But when you're in Kansas City, you're in Arrowhead, we can let the air out of you quick because it was 7-0, and I'm like, oh man, And then after that, we got rolling, and it was no contest.
I know that there's always like a scripted 15 plays, 10 plays, whatever it may be, and it's kind of, I don't know if it's ironic or if it's funny that they drove down that first drive. You just mentioned, DJ, that they went down the first offensive possession, four first downs, ends with a touchdown, a strike in the end zone. And then all of a sudden, it's like, that's all Spags needs to see. And it's interesting to know, like, what you could do in the world of this game whenever you see this team give up a touchdown on the opening drive. You're like, damn, they looked really good. But then you go back to the rest of the game. They scored, 13 points the rest of the game because it's like they show Spags this, and then he knows their tendencies, and he immediately adjusts. And I'm wondering to know, because of you being the defensive side guy, when you see that, like, obviously there's no panic. They go down there and score. They did their thing. And after that, it was just pressure. Three sacks on Lamar Jackson. No more running yards for Derrick Henry. Zay Flowers, didn't really see much of him. Mark Andrews, didn't see any of him the rest of the game, really. What does it mean to the defensive unit when you see the fact that the offense is clicking, you've given up 7 points, and then you guys start to click?
Yeah, great question. When it comes to being able to adjust in NFL, it's just at a premium level. Spags did that. Honestly, it's more about fans and other people that are watching the game. When a team scores on the first drive, that's really not a panic moment because they're scripted. They did well that time, or maybe had some mistakes in there, whatever it is. But the real test is, hey, after the first drive or after the first couple series, how are we clicking now? Now they're going to get to what they usually do, what that whole week of preparation is. And Spags is in his bag again. And it was a sight to see for that defense to corral Lamar like they did. I was like, man, the decision making from Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson was totally different.
Do teams have to prepare for Spags more than they have to prepare for players on the Chiefs defense at this point?
I can say that. You would say that because he has a style of play, right? It's not just one person that you have to stop. Obviously, on the defensive line, you want to make sure you know where number 95 is, and 5-6 as well. But being able to know, like, hey, Spags, once he gets you in third and long, he's going to come after you. He's going to blitz you. So we got to stay ahead of the chains and stuff like that. You have to be aware for him because Spags is definitely an identity on the Chiefs.
Yeah, you mentioned 95. I want to ask you, have you ever had anything like that? Like Chris Jones had his aunt obviously passing away, gets to the game about 25 minutes before it starts. Kind of would just want to know, like, have you ever had to play with like emotion like that on your shoulders? Like, what does that do for somebody in that situation?
Yeah, that's tough. I did that 2007. I think we played Denver.
I had to fly to Denver. My dad had passed. He had just passed, and I went to the funeral, and I was with the family on Friday and Saturday, and that night I flew in to Denver. But it's always hard. You got a heavy heart, but actually, during that time, you actually need to be around your brothers, people that you see more than anybody, more than your family. And that's the real camaraderie that you have in the league. That's the thing that you miss being a retired player. You have that support group that's big time. And I mean, it's genuine, and he gets to kind of forget about it for a few hours. Of course, you know, grief comes and goes where you have to deal with that, but being able to intervene a couple hours at Arrowhead, I think that was a good thing.
Yeah, there is nothing better for grief than doing something, you know, getting out there and having a normal day to make you forget about it, because if you sit around, it makes it worse, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Xavier Worthy, getting him back, man, was huge for this organization yesterday. We saw what probably would have been the game plan in week one against the Chargers. Having that guy back, man, that's the key to everything, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you got somebody that can run faster than everybody in the NFL, that seems to fare well when it comes to the vertical threat. And sometimes it's more of a decoy, right, to get other people open. But you definitely got to throw it down and see if he can go run up under the ball. And he can. It'd be hard to outthrow Xavier at times, but I'm glad to have him back. I mean, Andy Reid uses him in so many different ways. Our defenses are going to be scratching their head.
When you look at that play that Leo Chenal made when the game 7-3, Baltimore's driving, then the game completely turns on its axis after that interception. What's that do for like a linebacker making a play like that?
That's big time. That's big time. I was smiling ear to ear because we're in their world now. We know running backs are more athletic than us, or even tight ends are more athletic when it comes to catching the ball and being in space. But being able to get an interception, cover the guy up, plaster your guy, and then go look and go make a play on the ball—that's big time play. You go put that on the highlight film right after the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. And then also a clean game from the right tackle on Juwan Taylor. That's going to be an impressive thing to take away from this game as well.
I think they're starting to gel. I think the offensive line needs the most camaraderie out of any group. And just because they got the most important job, and that's being able to protect the main guy, and that's Pat. And I'm sure Pat was, I mean, no interceptions, no turnovers. I mean, they were 4-for-4 on fourth down. I mean, everything. I mean, it's other than maybe running the ball a little bit more. I mean, we had a pretty good day yesterday.
No doubt about it. DJ, what about Jacksonville that scares you or anything now that this team is starting to gel?
No, not really. I don't think it. I just can't wait for the Chiefs to get back to what they do more consistently. Because, I mean, you hear so many talks after losing a couple games early, you know, the Chiefs are this, and, you know, this is not that, like, all that stuff, man. We're so good at getting out the distractions. And it doesn't matter who we play. We play Chiefs ball, we'll be all right.
No doubt. DJ, we appreciate the time. We're excited. Next Monday night, we got a game, so nothing on Sunday. We get to kind of relax a little bit on Sunday and then take on Jacksonville on Monday night. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, go Chiefs.
Yes, sir. That is Derek Johnson there, former middle linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, and his interviews on 96.5. The Fan with us are brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all. Community America Credit Union, invested in you. Mac, take the show away.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three. Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
How about it? Victory Monday. One word. Let's start there. 37 points for the Kansas City Chiefs in a rout, a clinic, a dominant exhibition against the Ravens. 37-20 Chiefs win. One word.
Relax. That's what it was yesterday. A relaxing game for the first time really for me since that Bears game when Taylor first came, because Christmas Day wasn't relaxing. We were still fighting. We needed that win. I wasn't relaxed. Yesterday was the first time in a while you just kind of sat back, kicked back, and enjoyed the heck out of that game. That was just so much fun, but relax is the word that I will use.
Brioche would be my word yesterday. It was everything you wanted from all assets of the game, from special teams to defense to offense, and the cherry on top was Xavier Worthy coming back and being absolutely dominant and productive with jet sweeps to, you know, go routes to over-the-shoulder catches to just doing the his celebration, which is BBL stinky. I'm
BBL stinky.
I 100% think that's what it is. They love the show. They listen to the show. He does the BBL stinky celebration. They all do it. So my one word would be brioche on that 37-20 victory.
It's not that all was brioche. The Giants beat the Chargers. Bob wasn't surprised.
I really like the Giants this week to beat the Chargers. I feel like this is a prime upset ready to happen.
Are you marking this?
We marked it. Chargers L to Jackson Dart in his first start.
Mm-hmm. Elder, listen to him.
Yeah, I think that's my one word is huge. Obviously, you mentioned it earlier, guys. You said common opponents, right? Moving forward, you beat the Giants. They didn't beat the Giants. You're 2-2. They're 3-1. Gap closing, pressure immense coming to the Chargers side. Let's see if they can continue to be that team they've been this year. I'm not counting them out yet. They beat you week one. Now you got to play them later on the season. You get them at home on that field you played it yesterday. They're beat up on the offensive line. I would assume that Alt's probably back by the time you play that game. It was diagnosed with a high ankle sprain.
Those suck, especially for an offensive lineman.
Sure, absolutely. But yeah, huge yesterday with that loss against the Giants. Welcome to the league, Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
Got some legs, got an arm.
I hope his hammy's okay. We'll be following that all week, the Jackson Dart hamstring, because he did get a little tweak to his left hammy yesterday, and now he has no Malik Nabers. So, I mean, what are they going to do?
Yeah,
quarterback draw and Cam Scataboo. I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at. But you know what? Cam Scataboo and Jackson Dart may save Brian Daboll's job, you know, in New York.
Yeah.
And that was a big-time win yesterday. The win was great. I'm so excited that the Giants won that game yesterday. But more importantly, the biggest story is the Chargers and those linemen, man. Three of your five positions are either at your second or third offensive lineman already this season.
Crazy.
And you know what? I'm just going to say this quietly but out loud. I'd give anything for Brian Burns on this defensive line.
Come on, man.
Nobody gives the Giants enough credit for making that trade 2 years ago with Carolina.
Great trade.
It's an unbelievable trade. That guy has a motor that just doesn't stop. I mean,
Abdul Carter looked great too.
Carter had a day yesterday too.
Yeah, he fits the bill.
And then Dexter Lawrence gets the interception. We almost have a fat guy touchdown.
Oh, he was running, baby.
I mean, he was going.
Not only that, he tipped it and caught it.
And caught it.
It was great.
That was
he's
amazing.
He's a beast. He's an athlete, man. That defensive line for the Giants.
Ooh. Elite. One thing that's not elite are the Tennessee Titans. Cam Ward did not mince words yesterday after they dropped to 0-4. Here's the number one overall pick, rookie quarterback Cam Ward.
He's keeping it buck.
I mean, if we're keeping a buck right now, we ass. Mm-hmm. So we 0-4. We have, this point, we got nothing to lose. We dropped a quarter of our games, and we've yet to do anything. So we have to lock in, especially myself, on the offensive line, from the defensive line, from the special teams, to all three faces. We have to play together. We have not played together this year yet. And that's just something that, you know, we want to preach about it every day. Every day we got to do better, and we're doing that, but it has to show up on Sundays. It hasn't showed up yet, but it got to show up next week.
Honest. Mm. And it's good to hear that. And I use the word honest because we don't get honesty in sports a lot, right? Cliche. And then Cam Ward goes out here and says, we're ass, and tells everybody what nobody wants to hear, the Tennessee fans that are still paying attention. Mm. Nobody wants to hear we're close. It's just a couple of
No.
We all see what's going on out there. That team is gross. Again, with Borgonzi being down there, you got to fleece the Tennessee Titans at the trade deadline if you can get a running back out of the deal. We talked about what Tony Pollard last week, a potential, you know, add for this team. I like Cam Ward, man. I don't know if he can play at this level because he's surrounded by garbage. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that as a rookie, he has owned this team.
Yeah.
He is owning this team, man. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they have to fire that head coach. They'll play the Cardinals this week coming up in Arizona. They are 8.5-point underdogs to Kyler Murray and that. So I mean,
8.5 points to the Cardinals.
That's right.
Yikes.
They just got blanked by the Houston Texans. You get shut out in the NFL, you should be fired.
Yeah, you're an offensive-minded head coach.
And then you're starting to fights with the, I'm not even going to say it, Ron. Not going to say it. I'm not going to go there. Say it.
What was the question that he asked to get him to get angry like that? You're fighting with reporters.
Yeah, about the offense, and he's, you know, Callahan, Calicon.
Yeah, Calicon.
If his first name was Santa, it'd be Santa Calicon. Yeah. Shout out Independence. Yeah, he's got to go. Got to move on. Borghazi, like, that's not your guy.
Not
you know
guy
that. There, get out of here. Save your quarterback. Because hearing Cam Ward talk like that lets me know he doesn't give a rip, which means he's not out there defending anybody except telling you that it's complete ass BBL stinky.
I love it. Wow. I wish more athletes were honest like that, man. I don't care that he's a rookie.
Yeah, he didn't go out there and go, I got to be better. We're better than this. This team can fight. No.
No, we suck.
Keeping it buck, we ass right now.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't work in a 6'7", too, to all that, man. Like, jeez.
All right, I want to get to the Royals and the Ryder Cup, but first, Cheryl Reeve, head coach of the Minnesota Lynx. She made headlines this weekend as far as the WNBA playoffs go, complaining about the officials. Yeah, she does not mince words either.
The officiating crew that we had tonight, for the leadership to deem those three people semifinals playoff worthy is malpractice. We got players, Masha's on the glass and gets cracked, and there's no call. And all of them said, it wasn't my call. I don't know. I didn't see it that way. They're f***ing awful.
Bravo.
Yeah.
We need more of that in sports. I'm tired of these officials being protected.
Yep.
We all have replay. We can all see what's going on out there. We all have our own eyes. Stop fining coaches and players for calling out the officials. Because when they're bad and they do impact the game and you're taking money out of other people's pocketbooks because the officials are out there doing whatever it is that they're doing that's not right, I don't blame her, man. Good for you.
Loved it.
You work your ass off all year and then an official's going to make a call or do something that, you know, isn't up to snuff like we're seeing in the WNBA. They've been bitching about the officials all year.
Yeah, they have.
They got to rectify that.
They do. They need to fix that.
And Caitlin Clark's not even playing. She hasn't played in
exactly
4 months.
Yeah.
My one word would be honest. Good for her. Let it out. You know, may your grievance be known. You know, you're in the playoffs. Get it right. This is where everything's supposed to be crisp, defined, and right.
100%.
Yeah, it's one thing for the regular season. You got some schlubs out there. But when you get to the postseason, it's the best of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was pretty bad. I watched some of the highlights. I didn't watch the whole game, but I was like, damn, these are some bad no calls.
Hire people that care.
Yeah, seriously. One word on the Royals season, 82-80.
Good. Not great. Good. And for us here in Kansas City, we should be proud of that, man. It's only the fifth time in 25 years we've had an above 500 record, back-to-back seasons for the first time in a long time where we're above 500. Yeah, they said they were going to be a playoff team. They narrowly missed the postseason. Get your 2026 tickets now at Royals.com because they're going to reload this offseason, man. And to finish above 500, man, that's impressive. They've done it 2 years in a row, and it looks like this organization is on a really good track right now.
Yeah, I would say my one word would be moral, right? Moral season. You finished above 500. That was probably one of the third tiers in your rung. You wanted to probably win the Central. You wanted to be a playoff team. You wanted to finish above 500, have a winning record. You missed out on the two biggest ones, but you still came away with a winning season. You kept this team competitive until September 22nd. So again, back-to-back winning seasons, I thought they did fine, especially with all the adversities they faced this year. Now we'll see if Caglione can be that guy. We'll see if Carter Jensen, who hit a 482-foot tank yesterday, we'll see if he can continue that as well. We'll see what they do with Salvador Perez.
Ninth time they finished the season against the A's, only the first time they've won the last game against Oakland or the A's or whatever city they're in. Right? That's from Kurt Nelson, our friend at the Royals Hall of Fame. Nine times we've ended the season with these guys, first time we've ever won the final game. So they got that, took care of business, got above 500, and you get some momentum now going into the offseason. 2 years in a row being a winning ball club. It matters.
No doubt. Coming up on the other side, we keep it buck. I'm going to be honest with you. We going to keep it buck here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Isaiah Pacheco, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Right back into it. We'll get to Josh Klingler in about 45 minutes. He'll be joining the show at 8:30. The guy from the sideline that had probably the best view in the house yesterday. Plus, we'll get into the script at 8 o'clock. I'm interested to know how accurate we were.
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. I had 35-0. They got 37. They got two more points than I thought we'd get. I almost got the 35-0. But the 37's even better because that means you can go to Hy-Vee today. And I will be at Hy-Vee later on today. I'll see my man, Fro-Man KJ, over there at 135th and Antioch. He's behind the fish counter. Tell him you want the salmon when you go into Hy-Vee. KJ, hook me up with that filet of salmon, my man. He's in there. He's one of the great Chiefs fans. So today, you spend $37 at Hy-Vee, you'll get 37 cents off per gallon of gas on your fuel savers. And it gives you up to like 20 gallons of gas. 37 cents, 10 gallons is 370.
Dang.
Double it, 37 is what? You're almost saving 10 bucks on a tank of gas, man. So get on into Hy-Vee today. Stock up on all the great stuff that they've got at Hy-Vee. Ooh, the Andy Reid cookie cake that they have. Patrick Mahomes is on a cookie. I like that. All your Chiefs gear, all your Chiefs merch. Today's the perfect day to get into Hy-Vee. So you're going to save 37 cents per gallon when you spend $37 at Hy-Vee. It's the savings add up, man. I love it.
They also have crab cakes at the seafood section. So if you really want to stick it to Baltimore. Crab cakes and football.
What do we serve for Jacksonville?
Fish.
Yeah.
Like, is it just grouper? But that's like more Tampa than like what are we serving for Jacksonville?
I don't know.
I don't know.
What's indigenous to North Florida?
Fried
old
food.
People.
Yeah. Jacksonville is actually a really cool place to visit.
Jacksonville?
Oh, yeah.
Went there for the Super Bowl. We had a stay out in the middle of the road. They weren't ready for it. People were staying on cruise ships. That's how limited it was with the hotels. But we did get to go to the 17th hole of the TPC at Sawgrass and take a shot. Went with a guy I used to work for. He hogged the course.
Great. So Chargers lose to the Giants yesterday. Denver plays Cincinnati tonight in the second leg of the Monday Night Fest. The Dolphins uniforms are going to be sick.
Are those real?
Yeah, they showed the
Heck
field yesterday
man.
Getting painted.
It's awesome.
They look like the Miami Marlins.
like B-Dub sent the text to me last night. It goes, these are awesome. And I woke up this morning, I saw it, and I go, is this like an AI design? Because my daughter yesterday is sitting with me, and we're watching the game. She's like, can we do something different with the Chiefs uniforms? Like, what can we do? Nope. You know? And I said, no, probably not. So she went to AI and started designing new uniforms. She's like, they keep giving me the same one.
Yeah, not happening. So again, you look at what happened yesterday for the Chiefs. The Chargers lost. The Bills struggled. But again, could have known that, right? The Bills have been like multiple double-digit favorites in games this week. I think back-to-back weeks, they were 12.5 against Miami, did not cover. They were 15.5-point favorites against New Orleans. Let's calm down a little bit with Buffalo. They're good.
1-12 are the combined records of the teams they've beaten.
Okay. Oh, my God.
1-12.
And it continues to get easier.
Yep.
It will. They play New England this week, though, on Sunday Night Football. We'll see. They're finally going to play a team that has a decent defense.
A test.
But again, yeah, like, I get it. Buffalo's the best team in the AFC right now. Provenly so. But 15.5, 12.5, neither team had, you know, they didn't cover either one of those games. I can almost guarantee you that, you know, old boy Kellen Moore in New Orleans locker room all week was like 15.5. That's what they think they're going to beat you by. We're not supposed to win this game. We're supposed to get our ass kicked. Let's not do that. Let's give them a game. And New Orleans did fight with Buffalo the entire game. Baltimore came into Kansas City yesterday, absolutely got their ass kicked. They march down the field, get up 7-0. Chiefs go down, get a field goal. They go back down the field. Leo Chenault gets the pick, and that's when I thought we were going to get the text of it being over.
No, it was too early in the game, right? Right. You had to wait for that right moment. And I didn't even feel that comfortable after Lamar fumbled, but then I'm like, yeah, this is it, man. He fumbled in this situation, and the Chiefs got it back. And so you could say game over, but then it ended up being like a 6-point swing because that's when Butker missed, and then they got the ball back, and now all of a sudden it's a different ball game than you thought maybe going into the locker room, you know, at halftime. But either way, they found a way to get the job done, and you beat the teams that are on your schedule. You keep a losing team losing. We've said that for a generation now on this show, and that's what they did. They kept the losing team losing. Baltimore's out of sorts right now, and I'm not here to give a free pass to Baltimore. They're professional football players. They suited up. They all got paychecks yesterday, and the Chiefs went out there, and they took care of business, and it was a good day to do it because the Chargers started the day with that loss to the Giants, which, well, we all saw that one coming. I mean, I've told you a week ago that was happening. So that was great. That jump started the day.
It did.
I think if you're a Chiefs fan yesterday, you saw that. You got jump started yesterday a little bit, right?
Okay. All right. This could be a good day, maybe.
Yeah.
And let's do this.
Then the Raiders were going neck and neck with the Bears for a while, which the Bears are a bad team, too. And then the Bears get the block at the end. The Raiders end up losing that game yesterday. And then we'll see what happens tonight in the battle of, I don't know what, in Denver and Cincinnati. And
big
that,
bundle of suck.
Yeah, it really is. Big bundle of suck in that one with the backup quarterback. And Bo Nix isn't playing that good this year, obviously. So I just thought everybody had a boost yesterday going into the game. And you felt pretty good. And, you know, they gave up that early touchdown. And you're like, okay, here we go. That's Spags defense. No big deal. And it was pretty much over after that. They turned on the Jets. And after that score, the Chiefs went on to beat them by a score of 37-13 or whatever. They outscored, you know, Baltimore by. And they got that late touchdown at the end because Justice Hill didn't quit. He decided he was going to play the full game yesterday. Kudos to him for turning it on at the end and playing when it didn't matter because nobody else was doing that for Baltimore yesterday. But just a great win. Like, there's nothing that's going to bring me down this week, right? I'm flying high this week, man. And I was feeling good last week, too. I think more so better than probably everybody else in town. And then yesterday we saw what we've been wanting to see since training camp. And then it's even going to get better in 2 weeks when we get Rashee Rice back.
Signature dishes Jacksonville is known for: garlic crabs. Got to watch out for those. A seafood boil featuring crabs cooked in rich garlic butter sauce with sausage, corn, eggs, and potatoes. Camel rider.
What?
A unique sandwich made with a pita stuffed with ham, salami, bologna, and other fillings, often served with a cherry limeade.
Okay.
That's odd.
Very weird.
That's odd, but
I like that, though, I guess.
Cherry limeades
are cherry limeades are good.
But, like, it's paired with a cherry limeade.
Yeah, why? Yeah.
I would probably get it stuffed with ham and salami. You can keep the bologna. Yeah, I don't know what the other fillings are. And then they have Mayport shrimp. A local delicacy from the historic fishing village of Mayport, known for its fresh seafood. Low country cuisine. Jacksonville also shares some culinary traditions with low country region, including dishes with barbecued pork, shrimp, and collard greens.
Yeah, some of those.
Sign me up for that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Love collard greens.
There used to be a chef on Food Network. Cartier Brown was her name, Miss Brown, and she had this house out in the low country where they would do the set. It was cool, just the location, the food she would cook, all the seafood boils and the shrimp and all that kind of stuff. So if that's the kind of food they serve in Jacksonville, that's a hell of a way to tailgate, man.
Do you think yesterday the Harbaugh family, when they said, "Who's better than us?" Everyone.
Yeah, everyone. That was that conversation with John and Jim yesterday. How'd you do?
Owner Jim Harbaugh left the game and was like, "Man, that Jackson Dart guy's good." Hey, Justin, how you doing? Hey,
he's
what's
like
going
a
on?
Snowflake where you look up in the sky and there's not many Jackson Darts out there.
No doubt about it. Yeah, both Harbaugh brothers lose yesterday. Chargers lose. Ravens lose. I hope Spags just absolutely brings the same system he had against Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson against Trevor Lawrence, because those two guys, miles ahead of Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence is going to see ghosts.
Because you know what he did? He forgot where Brian Thomas Jr. is on the field. And they just banked on Travis Etienne yesterday, who's been good this year. Tooting, but there's going to be a lot of tooting if they can get into Trevor Lawrence's mind the way Steve Spagnuolo, plus they get an extra day. So everybody in Kansas City gets to relax, be with their family, stay at home, do all that sort of stuff, and then they'll hit the ground running because everything is, what do we do this again?
No, Tuesday, Wednesday is Thursday, Thursday is Friday.
No.
Today is Sunday.
Yes.
Tomorrow is Monday. Wednesday is Tuesday. Thursday is Wednesday. Friday is Thursday.
What the hell was
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, everything's a day. Exactly. That's the way it is. You're going to hear Andy say, well, today's a Sunday, and that's these guys.
Hello, America.
That's right. That's right. Coming up on the other side, we visit the script and the parlay, and then Josh Klingler at 8:30 here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.